Hey, yo, and here we go. Another episode of We Talk Music is on the air and in your ear. And once again, I am Mo, joined by the King of the Casters, Mr. Brett Podcast. Brett, stop talking. Start telling everybody the important stuff.
Well, the important stuff is who we are joined by. And we are joined by, you know, friend of the show, coming on the show this time to talk about his band Firewind, whereas last time he was talking about his solo work. We have the stunning guitarist Gus G on the show. Gus, how are you?
Hey guys, I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me again.
I was mentioning to Brett that if just a little bit of practice and you'll get real good.
Yeah, I've been practicing a little bit.
For the last
30 years or something. Yeah.
Well, and you know, now you've got loads of time to practice now, right?
So I do. Yeah. Hopefully, when we are finally able to go back out there and play a tour, I'll be able to keep my guitar in tune and all that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing about you, actually, because we have a friend of ours. He's a comic book artist. He's drawn. His name is Riley Rossmo. He's drawn Batman and Wonder Woman and Wolverine and all these things. And we go out, you know, had food with him and had him in social gatherings and privately, and no matter where he is, what he's doing, he never doesn't have a notepad. He never stops drawing. Even though it's his job, he never stops drawing.
Wow.
Everywhere he is, everywhere he does. And I feel like you're the same way, or at least would like to be the same way with your guitar. Just always have it with you. Just always be noodling. No, if you could, just everywhere you go, just like it's such a part of you.
It is. I mean, it's like by now it's like an extension of my body. I mean, you know, I mean, if you come to my house, it's like there's guitars in every single corner, you know, and, you know, when it's good to, whenever you feel like grabbing a guitar, it's right there next to you. You never know.
That's it. Funny, because we were just talking to David Ellefson yesterday, and he said the exact same thing, that he wants to have a guitar ready for him anytime so that he can just, whatever room he walks into, he can just pick it up if he needs to.
Yeah, it's important. I have guitars and amps everywhere. Like, my wife today was going like, do we need this amp by the kitchen table here where we sit? I'm like, yeah, of course we do. Don't worry about it. Because a lot of times I sit there, you know, having my morning coffee, and I, you know, plug in and I, you know, run the scales or something. So,
So we're here to talk about the new album Firewind, called Firewind, which is due out on May 15th now. I mean, I think it's a fantastic album. You know, there's some changes as well. Got a new lead singer for it and stuff like that. So why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
It's the 9th album, and like you said, there's a new singer. His name is Herbie Langens. He's from Hanover, Germany, and we've been a five-piece band for many years, but you know, we our keyboard player also decided to step down from touring activities and stuff. So I decided to sort of restructure the band a few months ago, and so we continue as a four-piece now. I mean, there's still keyboards in the record, as you heard, but just in a different type of approach. You know, it's more of an enhancement now. But we're like a four-piece band now. Actually, we started out as a four-piece band back on the first two albums. New singer, new album, and that's it. It's a good album.
Absolutely.
Good album. Was Dennis Ward involved in this one? I know he produced Immortal, so I wasn't sure if he had any role in this one.
He was semi-involved, I have to say. He would have mixed the album as well, but he didn't have the time in the end, because he was also hired by Helloween to work on their new album. However, he did help me out with some vocal lines in the beginning. He provided vocal lines for four of my songs, and I did the lyrics for that. And then basically when Herbie came in, you know, I started writing with Herbie, you know, working with him for the vocal lines and the lyrics. But Dennis was there to sort of oversee everything and just, like, you know, suggest some things here. There's some production ideas, or maybe like correcting some lyrics, you know, especially, you know, help with English, a little bit of English grammar, you know, because he's American. So he helped us as much as he could, or as much as time allowed him. And then, you know, towards the end of the production, I mean, he was, like I said, he was supposed to mix, but he, you know, he realized he probably wouldn't have been able to deliver on time, so we had to turn to somebody else to complete the project.
Halloween, what have they ever done?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
legends.
Now, has it gotten any easier? I mean, with all the changes and stuff, does it get easier to introduce new members into the band, or is it still kind of the same?
Nope. It's hard. It's damn hard, man. Every time, and believe me, it's not like I won't have new members every time. But you know, it happens. It's how it is, and you know, especially with the music industry not being the most lucrative business out there right now, it'll get tougher for bands. And you know, even for us, of course, we're not a big band or anything, but you know, we're to established to a certain extent, and it's still tough, man. You know, it's and people, you know, they feel the need. After a while, they want different things, they want to change their lifestyle and all that. So yeah, I mean, in this case, for this album, it was like, well, this band is like, I didn't see the current lineup continuing unless there was, you know, dramatic changes, either that or, you know, we just call it quits. And I had to do some serious thinking this time, at the end, I just decided, well, I still have things to say with this band. So I decided to continue and move on with the changes. And I knew it wasn't, you know, it would shock some of our fans, probably all of our fans. Or maybe some of them would be like, oh, well, here we go again. But, but you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's I felt strongly about the material. I thought we had a really good record. And I want to think that it will speak for itself in the end without really, you know, going too much in detail on the, oh, why did he leave or why did he that? Or, you know, it's just what it is.
Well, and it's always interesting, you know, because when you do listen to a music with a new singer, and I mean, the music does speak for itself. Like, if you have great music, then, I mean, why bother starting over with a new band name or something like that? Because, I mean, you have the Firewind name, and absolutely, it is worth something. So,
and it's one of the coolest band names ever.
For sure.
It is a cool band name, I have to say that. Yeah, I didn't come up with it. I stole it from only John Roth, but... yeah, it was one of his solo albums, or not solo, he had a band after the Scorpions called Electric Sun, and their second album was called Firewind, and I thought that would have been a kick-ass band name for a metal band, and I took it.
And what's that guy ever done, right?
Exactly, yeah. Him too.
I'm sure he sees it as a tribute.
Yeah, no, I mean, when I first met Uli, I told him, he's like, oh, so you're the Firewind guy, wow, so he was, yeah. He was happy about it. So most people remember him from the Scorpions, but I was a huge Electric Sun fan. So, yeah, yeah.
I got to go check that out now.
He does great.
Listen to them.
Yeah, yeah. There's some great guitar playing on them. You know, some really cool songs. More like more experimental, and there's, you know, more Hendrix vibes in there. So if you dig that kind of stuff, yeah, I think you'll like the Electric Sun albums. And I mean, really groundbreaking work for its time.
Oh, absolutely.
So this album, you're not really sticking to just one style of the songs. I mean, you have some rock anthem type stuff in there. You have a fantastic ballad. You got some power metal, and you know, I suppose knowing that you're kind of you're scratching all these itches, doing all this different stuff while still making a cohesive album, you have to find a singer who's capable of doing all that, and that's got to be a challenge.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the thing is, I wrote the material as it came to me. Like, well, this is what it is, and I realized quickly that this album was going to. Remind a lot of our older fans, at least, that, you know, the albums like Allegiance and Premonition, where we did have that kind of variety throughout the track list, and that was kind of part of, you know, that defined Firewind, that we could go from a power metal song to something more thrashy, or then maybe like play like a 80s anthem metal kind of track, you know, or play some more hard rock stuff. So we had a little bit of everything in there. I mean, when I first heard Herbie singing, I just knew right away, instinctively, like, okay, this guy should be singing in this band. This is how the band should sound. And his voice reminded me of Stephen Frederick, our first singer on the first two albums. And so there was a little bit of a connection there. I'm like, okay. But I think Herbie also brings something fresh to the table as well that could carry the band to the future.
Now we talk about the Longing to Know You, the just beautiful song. I understand there's an acoustic version that Japan is only getting as a bonus track. I am jealous and pissed if I don't get to hear it. I just need to let you know that.
It's the same song. It's just, we just muted the bass and drums. That's all.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's it, really. So, but I have to say, though, about this song is that I reached out to my ex-Aussie bandmate, Adam Wakeman, the keyboard player, and I asked him to do an orchestration on the song. So I wanted these type of cinematic type of strings, and he did a great job. That's why you hear, like, I don't know if you notice, he has all these type of big strings, and that, you know, there's an orchestral part, you know, next to the rock band, of course, the, you know, bass and drums and guitar. So I think he really did a great job and enhanced the song. It made it sound bigger and everything.
And it's perfect because, I mean, it's track six. It's 11 tracks. It's track six. It's right in the middle. It takes you into a different place and then takes you out of it again perfectly. And it helps the album as a whole kind of – it's kind of like a – cohesively, it brings it all together while creating a twist in the middle.
Yeah. And, you know, when I was that's another thing that I want to pick when I make the track list for the record, I always think about these things. Like, and especially here, I knew we have different – tempos, different vibes, you know, some songs are heavier than others, and I wanted to make sure that the flow is nicely, you know, like it flows nicely, and it's like, oh well, you know, like the mood, it sets the mood for every song, and each song kind of like, you know, where one song picks up where the other song leaves, you know. So I think about these things more than what I think about lyrics, you know. So and it was the same with the previous album, Immortals, and that was a concept record lyrically. And I was like, well, it wasn't so much for me about, you know, following a certain storyline. It's more about like, what's the experience when you hear an album? You don't want like the ballad being the opening track, you know. So that kind of thing, yeah.
Well, my favorite song on the album is Overdrive, and I got to say that I played that song, like, I finished listening to the album and went back and played that song probably another four times.
It just
totally worked for me. But again, and, you know, a great anthem.
Thank you. And, you know, that song was that almost didn't make it to the album because I knew it was a different type of track for us. And I was like, well, okay, this is not like your regular Firewind song, but I gave it to Herbie and I'm like, well, what do you think about this? Maybe try to make this anthem type of heavy metal track. And he came back with these vocal lines that you hear, and it was like, okay, this is going to be really cool. It was like, you know, right in his ballpark, and just felt really comfortable with it. And I knew it was going to be a cool, like you said, like a cool heavy metal anthem.
And my favorite song actually is Orbital Sunrise. I really dig that. Guitar work in that one's just so good. Not that it isn't throughout the entire album, but boy, it really just grabbed me.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
Now, are there other songs that you've kind of how many songs kind of were left off the album?
Two. One we finished, recorded, mixed, and I don't know what we're gonna do with it. Actually, maybe we'll release it as a single, maybe later next year or something, just as a single. I don't know what we're gonna do with it. And then there's another one that we just did the drums and guitars and everything, but we didn't have time to finish it on the vocals. So maybe we'll, you know, we have something, maybe, I don't know, for the next album, or if we need another single, maybe we'll work on that one. So, but that's about it, really. There's just one more track that is finished and just kind of like got left out.
Now, do you think about that when, because I mean, you talk about doing the track listing and really, really thinking about that. Is there a length kind of thing where it's just like you realize that, yeah, this is the right length for the album. If we add more songs, there's just no point.
In my opinion, like a good album should have 10 songs, really, not more, you know, unless like it's a progressive band and each song is like 8 minutes long. But yeah, but you know, I think 10 songs, that's where it's at. So I'd rather have 10 really good songs instead of like, yeah, let's give 13 or 14 and there's like four or five that are kind of fillers, you know, that kind of ruins the vibe. So maybe better stick with like 10 really good, strong tracks.
you mentioned you have more to say with this band, and it's interesting because I mean this is very much your band, and yet you also did the solo albums, and you've done a few. But Fearless is musically is very different. You're scratching different itches, even though they're both yours. So talk a little bit about the difference musically in style, which what you've done solo in your solo albums and what you do with Firewind.
Well, the solo albums so far have been a little bit of experimenting type of journey, musical journey for me. Whereas the first two records were like a lot of collaborations with different singers. And, you know, I try to follow a little bit more of active rock radio type of format on certain songs, try to, you know, explore that because I also like the 3-minute radio rock songs. You know, there's something to be said about a good rock song that is, you know, short and very powerful and very catchy. I always like that stuff, you know, even though I'm known for doing something completely different. So, you know, I touched up a bit upon that, you know, and then it was also a blend of that with instrumentals. So it was kind of a strange mix, but I don't know. I mean, you know what? In the last record I did, the last solo record, it was like this power trio type of situation. Not so much on the record, you know, we didn't try to do this, we didn't try to be a Jimi Hendrix experience or anything, but it was still like a well-produced record, but, you know, we went out and toured it as a trio with Dennis Ward playing bass and singing. But the more I think about it is like obviously Firewind is a heavy metal band and, you know, traditional heavy metal, melodic heavy metal. And, you know, that has been our thing for 20 years now. So the more I think about it now, at least looking into the future, I would probably like to keep the solo project and start doing instrumental records. So that way it's separated. You know what I mean? So, you know, the solo records is just like guitar, you know, guitar for guitar fanatics and guitar fans, and then, well, you know, the heavy metal band is Firewind, so that's the main vehicle there.
We talk about this actually on the show. We call them not instrumental. We call them no voices songs because Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys, when we saw him play. And he would do a song with no voices. He would mention, "This song has no voices," very dramatically every time. So what are some of your favorite no voices albums then?
Ooh, obviously a lot of the classic shred instrumental albums, you know, from Yngwie's Rising Force. I mean, even though that's not a complete instrumental record, there's two vocal songs on there, but still, you know, The Passion of Warfare, Steve Vai, you know, Satriani. Yeah, I like a lot of Satriani albums. You know, Surfing with the Alien, of course, being one. But I like The Extremist a lot. What else? I mean, a lot of great instrumental records out there. I mean, in the 80s especially, like Vinnie Moore's Mind's Eye. That was a great, it's a classic record. Al Di Meola, Elegant Gypsy and Casino. I love those albums. Yeah, stuff like that.
I definitely hear some Satriani in you, and that is a massive compliment.
Thank you. I'm a big Satriani fan, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Love Satch.
No doubt about it. Great stuff. Now, did you ever think, you said 20 years of Firewind. Did you ever think, when you started the band, 20 years of Firewind?
It's pretty crazy, right? And also, like, if you take into account how much, you know, ups and downs we've been through, like how many lineup changes, how many different eras of the band, but still here we are. And, you know, I mean, this is something I'm really proud of, that we can still do this in 2020. And also really proud that this band, you know, maybe we haven't become some huge band or something, but, you know, it's a band that has a fan base all around the world. You know, we can go and play in, you know, anywhere from Asia to Russia to South America to the States to anywhere in Europe. So, and there's, you know, there's we have fans everywhere, and this is something I'm really proud of. You know, this is like one of the main motivations that keeps me going. It's like whenever it's like there's a dark moment, I'm always thinking, well, you know, I guess this little band means something to some people all around the world. So it would be a shame to quit that, you know, to stop that now. I mean, we've worked so hard for it. So, yeah, I guess we're sort of feeding off each other with our fans in a way.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, unfortunately, your tour with Symphony X and Primal Fear got pushed into 2021 because of everything that's going on. But I mean, what an amazing bill that is.
Oh man, yeah, that's like that's a great package. I mean, when I first got the offer from the agents, I was like, wow, this is gonna be a really cool heavy metal bill, you know, like. You just can't miss that, you know, if you're into that kind of stuff. Yeah. And, I know that the shows were selling really well. I know some shows sold out as well. And, I mean, it's a bummer that this has to be moved now. But, you know, we are in a very unique situation we live in right now. But, I'm just waiting to find out when the new dates will be and just basically go from there.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it gives you a chance, though, you can talk to them about fixing the one big mistake on that tour, and that was that we're in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, and you were going to our biggest rival city, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada only, and you don't want to go to Edmonton if you don't have to. You can fix that and come here.
See, the thing is, we don't get to pick and choose where we play. It's a lot on, you know, what the interest is in every city. And I mean, let alone that this tour is not even a Firewind tour. We are the special guest, you know, it's a Symphony X tour. So it's like, they just send us the dates. This is it. I'm like, yeah, it's not like I get to go, well, if we don't play in Biloxi, I'm not going.
it's a smart thing to do to just have a Edmonton band on your list. You know, I recommend that. I mean, what do you call a good looking woman in Edmonton? Lost. I mean, you don't want to really go there.
Yeah. Oh wow! Where you guys are from again?
Calgary, Alberta.
Oh, Calgary. Yeah. Okay, that's a nice city, isn't it?
It is.
Oh yeah. It's not Edmonton.
But that being said,
is that like some hockey rivalry or something like hockey teams?
There's some of that to it. Yes, there's definitely a sports element. To it.
Right. Yeah, we have that with the city I live in, Thessaloniki, with Athens, obviously, for the football teams. Yeah.
There's no doubt that provided you guys go to Edmonton next year with the tour, we will head up because I don't want to miss that tour anyways.
How far are they, the cities from each other?
About 3 hours drive.
Oh, come on. It's not that bad.
No, it's not that bad at all. We will definitely be there. Hopefully we can even say hello.
Yeah, it'll be nice.
Sure, it's not that bad, but you haven't smelled Edmonton.
I've been to Edmonton before. I've played there before.
I'm sorry. it's an on-running gag on the show. I'm sure people in Edmonton hate me, but I never miss a chance. Never. Miss a chance to say something about them, but back to more important work.
Yeah, like what are you watching? What movies are you watching while you're stuck in the pandemic when you're not playing guitar?
A lot of Netflix stuff, new stuff, old stuff. You know, the other day I watched again some Monty Python, the Holy Grail. I hadn't watched that since I don't know when, years and years ago. I watched some new movies as well. I hate serious. I can't watch serious. It's like it. I lose interest right away. I can't just sit there through a whole like season or two or three seasons. It's like I don't have time for that. Like I'd like to watch, like when I watch something, I want it to end like 2 hours maximum, 2 hours later. You know.
I understand that. I actually want to go after this. I'm going to go and watch that documentary episode that you were promoting that they made about you.
Oh yeah, that was a thing. Well, that's not really new. It was a film like 3 years ago, and it was broadcasted on the national television channel here, and that was the whole thing. You know, it was about like they had this show where they were portraying certain personalities. You know, not necessarily only musicians, but other artists and people. So, this director had an idea about doing something about me and my career so far. And, I think that aired 2 years ago. And then there were a couple of reruns, but I called up the director and I said, dude, don't wait like for 10 years until, you know, go by and then this is the lost documentary or something. You should put it up there online and you know, maybe some other people around the world would want to watch this. You never know. So
that's right, like me.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe somebody in Edmonton. Calgary. Oh, sorry, Calgary. Yeah.
Please don't make that. Don't get him started.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe somebody in Edmonton or Calgary. Yeah.
Yeah, in either one. I'm sure there's got to be a good person or two in Edmonton. Now, how old were you when you started Firewind? Were you still a teenager at the time?
I started the first demo, I think, was like when I was 19. Yeah.
19, yeah. So that's really amazing. So how do you look back upon that, the early work when you're only 19 years old? How do you feel about it now?
Well, I mean, the first demo sucked. It was I didn't know what I was doing. It was just like learning it was trial and error, like learning to write songs through making demos. That's what it was, and trying to find what is the style and the path I wanted to follow. I mean the first record that came out was 3 years later, and that was already a much, you know, that was a big improvement. You know, I had signed to a small label, Leviathan Records. And do you guys remember David Chastain at all from the 80s?
Absolutely.
Yeah, of course.
So, I mean, David is the first guy that offered me a record contract. So, I mean, he even signed me. There was no Firewind at the time. It was just, you know, me. And then he helped me develop that. And he basically thought that I had some talent in writing cool riffs and then, you know, played cool solos. And he wanted to sort of, you know, put an album together, put a band around me, so to speak. And, you know, I talked him into doing this and calling it Firewind, because that was like my my thing, you know, since I was, I don't know, a teenager. And that basically became became Firewind, the first record, which was, again, it was like a more like a showcase type of album. Yeah.
Well, we're certainly glad that that you convinced him and that you made it.
Yeah. And it was I mean, back then there was no band. It was basically just me. And then, you know, David helped me find some musicians that I had never met. So we did the whole file exchanging thing. You have to think, this is like in the year 2000, before really, you know, fast internet times and all that stuff. Yeah. So it was like, I remember like doing interviews for that album, and everybody was like, so how do you guys rehearse? I'm like, what rehearse? Like, this isn't a touring band. It was just like, you know, but I always secretly wished and hoped it would become one. Yeah, we would be, you know, a touring band. So it took us 3 or 4 albums before we got to that, but we made it.
That's awesome.
Well, unfortunately, our time with you is a half hour flew by.
Yeah,
it's done. I could keep talking to you for a long, long time, I'm sure.
But you got to go have your mashed potatoes.
Yeah, have some mashed potatoes. That's right. And
I have one more interview, and then it's mashed potato time. Okay. Yeah.
Well, quickly,
one more interview.
Quickly, right. Tell the folks where they can find the new Firewind album on the 15th of May.
Well, it's going to be released online on all digital platforms. You can also pre-order it through our website and AFM Records website. Our website is firewind.gr. So, you know, we have like pre-order bundles and stuff like that if people are into that. And, you know, special vinyls and all kind of cool things like that. They should check it out. And yeah, hopefully use the downtime on quarantine to check out more music and dig into it, yeah.
Awesome. Well, Gus G, thank you so much for coming on the show again. We appreciate it. We look forward to seeing you live, and more importantly, we look forward to having you on the show again.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate the support. Take it easy.
Yeah, you too. All the best.
Bye.
Bye now. Right now.